What's up? We're back.
You new
it's
to
another
this?
Episode. Nah, we got it. We're good. We're good. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle and Ben. Man, it's been like we've missed Friday and holiday. Feels like it's been like a week since we've done
it,
the show.
It feels so. Like it. I will say that it's been a good week missed, though, or a good 4 days missed because my two bug hats came in.
Let's go.
And I'm
wearing it.
I'm at the office. I can't wear hats at work.
So, you can't wear hats to a radio station?
No, because we have people that I host a show. They have live guests and stuff. They don't like doing that. They want us to look professional.
Gotcha.
It's not considered professional.
Okay.
I can explain my bug hat to all the guests that come in here is not necessarily professional, Kyle.
Okay. I got you. I got you. I just thought radio, you just kind of, throw on a hoodie and go, but maybe not. All right. So couple of things, and this is going to mostly revolve around Byron Brown. Number one, we haven't talked since Rivals, not Rivals. Well, I guess it is Rivals technically. Rivals and On3 dropped their top 100 players in college football for preseason, and Byron Brown did not make the list. 13 quarterbacks did. None of them were Byron Brown. And then also, and this may kind of coincide, a lot of still, and I guess he's going to have this until he actually shows it on the field, but a lot of questions about how do you prove you belong. That kind of seems to be the theme.
I think that's the South Florida transfers. I think that's Golish and staff. I think it's the entire kit and caboodle of all that.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap all that up and talk about that. Let's start with the top 100 list. Obviously, Byron doesn't make the list. 13 other quarterbacks did.
We talked about him being like one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the country. If he has the same numbers that he's had the last couple of years, he's easily a top 10, if not a top 5. And yet he didn't make the top 100. Like, what are we doing?
13 quarterbacks. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go down the list of quarterbacks.
Okay.
And you tell me.
I was going to say, we're going to kill a whole show if you're going down all 100.
No, just the top, just quarterbacks. Okay. Number one. The top rated quarterback is Dante Moore from Oregon. You good with that one?
I'm good with him being a top. I think on the top five, you can probably switch and swap any of them. So yeah, I'll go okay with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. You got.
He's a top three. I'll give him that. He's a top three.
He should be on the list.
Yes, he should be on the list.
And he should be on the list. And I'm okay with him being ahead of Byron Brown. Yes. Byron Brown. The second was Sam Levitt. From LSU.
I'm not buying into Sam Levitt hype, but should he be in the top 13? Probably, yeah.
Okay. In other words,
I don't know that he's got enough work in front of him to put him ahead of Byron Brown.
Why don't you have the same questions about Sam Levitt that you have about Byron Brown?
That's exactly it. Like, I don't
understand. Who did Sam Levitt beat at Arizona State?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Can you name like his big win? They lost to Mississippi State, didn't they?
Yeah. yeah.
The year they went to the whatchamacallit, the playoff.
Yeah, the playoff, and got handed to them. So.
No, it was a good game. They played Texas pretty good, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but still, I mean, again, one game, and we're given. Levitt, top. We're giving him a top five. I mean, come on, man.
Can you see me right now and hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, my computer's completely locked up, but
okay, I can see you and hear you. We're recording, buddy.
Good, good. So, well, I can't continue to go down the list now because my computer's completely locked up. What a freaking nightmare! Let me switch to my phone until this thing.
What an absolute. This is why I don't wear hats in the radio business. This is right here.
Okay.
All professionalism.
Okay, this is even easier, though. This is like, let's see, all positions, quarterbacks. Okay, here we go. All right, Dante Moore, Sam Levitt, Julian Sayin.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that one.
Yep, I'm good with that one.
Arch Manning.
Top 13, yes. Top 5, no.
Over should you put him in the list over Byron Brown? If those were the two deciding,
I say no experience within the SEC against who he's played. Yes. So, Yeah, well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt right now.
Okay, so you still got Arch above him. Lenoris Sellers.
See, in the few games I saw him last year, he was great in some, and he just looked like he absolutely was a fish out of water in the others.
If you add up Lenoris Sellers' passing yards plus rushing yards, it's not more than Byron Brown's passing yards.
That's wild.
From last year.
Oh, well, then the fact that you said that, there you go. Their statistics say no. Then he should not
Jaden,
be.
Jaden Mavia?
No. Not above.
I really like him.
I know
I'm okay with him being on the list.
I know.
Darian Mensah?
Wait a minute. What's the exercise here? I'm okay with some of them being on the list. I'm not necessarily okay with him, Sellers being above Byron Brown.
That's the whole thing. Are you okay with these guys being above Byron Brown? And you were okay. You were okay with Dante Moore. You were not really on Sam Leavitt. You're okay with Julian Sayin. You're okay with Arch Manning. You're not okay with Lenoris Sellers.
No.
Jaden Mavia, you're not.
No.
Even that one doesn't hurt my feelings that bad. Darian Mensah. He lit it up last year. He threw for a pile of yards last year at Duke. He's the one that's gone from Tulane to Duke. And now he's at Miami. I think I'm fine with that one.
I'm okay with it. Yeah, it's Duke, but even at Miami, he's going to be playing the same teams.
Trindade Chambliss.
Yeah,
to me, he's the number one. He's the best quarterback on this list.
Best quarterback. Yeah, he's by far the best quarterback in college football right now.
Jaron Kiawe Sajapalutili.
No.
You know who that is?
No.
He's Cal's quarterback last year. He's a true freshman. He's actually really good, but I would not put him ahead of Byron Brown. CJ Carr from Notre Dame.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not good there either. I do like him, but it's like what could I put CJ Carr on South Florida's team last year and win nine games?
Could if you said, hey Ben, you got to choose right now. You're taking Byron Brown or CJ Carr, which one do you want?
I'm taking Byron Brown. Drew Mestemaker.
I just like his name. he had a good year, though. I mean, based
Byron
on
Brown what I beat said, his tail head to head.
Yeah, he did. So yeah, there you go. Brown takes the cake on that one too.
Josh Hoover. I take Brown over Josh Hoover.
Yeah.
100 times out of 100. Gunnar Stockton, I take Brown 100 times.
I don't know what the love with Stockton and Manning are. Manning, I get. It's his last name, and he plays at Texas. Gunnar Stockton has not proven to me that he's a great quarterback. But yet, everybody thinks he's going to be a Heisman finalist.
Byron Brown actually comes in at 14th. He's the 14th quarterback. And he's the number 119 overall. I figured he'd probably be pretty close to the top, just outside of the top 100, because like any further down the list would just be crazy. And then, I mean, John Mateer, I would take John Mateer over some of these guys. Here's my thing, Ben, and correct me if you think I'm just like off base here. The way I look at a quarterback is if like I were to take that quarterback off that team and put him on another team that's maybe not so talented. Like, for example, if you put Gunnar Stockton on South Florida, what does South Florida look like last year?
Probably, if not the same record that Byron Brown had with him, because I just don't think that he would be able to do what Byron Brown did with the talent around him.
Yeah.
Whereas, if you put Trindade Chambliss on South Florida, I think he does just fine.
Yeah, Dante Moore, probably pretty good.
That's just good.
I think Jaden Maiva, or however you say his last name, I think he'd be good at South Florida. Now, on the flip side, you put Byron Brown on Georgia's team, they don't lose a game.
No.
I don't think they lose a single game. You put him on Texas's team last year. I don't know that Texas loses a game. Maybe Ohio State, that's it.
Not necessarily Arizona State, but if you put Byron Brown on LSU's team this year, I think that LSU does better than what they do with Leavitt.
Yeah, that's just where I'm having such a hard time with this. I don't get it. My dad, Ben, he's an eternal pessimist, and he said that worries me. And I kind of get where he's coming from. It's like, what are we missing? What are we missing? I mean, the guy was unbelievable.
Every time I see these things, Kyle, the first thing I go to is, what was the criteria? Because he clearly took South Florida to places they haven't been. He's got good athletes around him. He just needed an offensive line and needed a better defense, which he's now got. He's definitely got the better defense.
Do they just think that there's not enough around him to have an elite season? Like, I assume that's what they're trying to project, like who's going to have the best seasons.
So I guess my question to that is, okay, so are you ranking, if you're a ranker that's doing this and you're a guy putting, are you ranking the offensive line or are you ranking the quarterback? Because, and I know that's part of it goes hand in hand, but he's got better receiving room. He's got a better running back room. He's got a defense that's going to put him in position to be more successful than what he was at South Florida. Hell, even special teams, Kyle, the kicker's finally back. You got a punter that's going to be decent as far as putting people where they need to be. Like, you can't just pick and choose when you go to ranking, oh, well, the offensive line not solid yet. Yeah, but there's a lot of other things that are solid. You're not counting those. You're just going with, like you just talked about with your dad, you're going with the pessimistic thing, like offensive line is not solidified. I understand that, but he's got literally four running backs that could start anywhere in the country, and they're going to be in his backfield. He's got receivers that could start anywhere in the country, and that's who he's throwing to. He's got a defense that's going to hold people, and he's got that they're going to put him, at least the offense, in a decent position to have some hopefully good field position to make some different calls than what we've seen in the past.
We'll see. But
when you go to ranking, you just can't go, okay, what's the crappiest part of the team? That's why he's not going to be any good, because he didn't have any support there.
Well, why? Why can't you do that? I'll give you an example. Okay, if it's just based off production, then, you know, Lenore Sellers would not be where he is on the list because he had a really bad year last year. But They got rid of the offensive coordinator and they brought in Kendall Briles. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's fair to give Lenoris a bump considering he's about to be with one of the more, I guess, explosive offensive coordinators in college football? Like, that's fair, right?
It's fair, but could you also say that it's fair that Byron Brown gets to be with the offensive coordinator he's had for the two past years, and so now that's going to transition into year three?
That's what I'm asking. That's the question I'm asking. Like, do you think that they just believe they don't got a problem with Byron Brown, they don't got a problem with the offensive coordinator? Do you think that they just believe that maybe Auburn doesn't have the guns on offense for Byron to have a top 13 year? Could that be what they're looking at? Because from a production standpoint, from a physical tool standpoint, from athleticism, everything around him, it looks like this guy's a top 10 quarterback in the country. Why isn't he? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I think they can't get their head past he went to South Florida last year.
But see, Drew Messenmaker went to North Texas.
I understand. For some reason, I think that it's like South Florida gets no love. And I don't know if it's because their program's not that old. What were they, 97 when they created the program, something like that? Yeah. So I don't know if they just can't wrap their head around. I mean, they're not buying into any of them. Like Golish, the South Florida transfers. I mean, you heard Brown saying that quote, we're out to prove that we can be here. And yeah. I mean, they're clearly reading the headlines. They see what people are talking about. They see that everybody's not giving them a chance because they're coming from the South Florida Bulls to Auburn. And it's, you know, and it's like people have written them off because of that. And Messenmaker's the only one I could see where, yeah, I get what you're saying there. But even like Levitt, I mean, who did Arizona State play?
Yeah, I just mentioned he lost to Mississippi State.
And so now all of a sudden.
Look up there, Ben. My computer's still completely locked up. I don't even know how much time we have on the show so far. So look up. I'm looking at Sam Levitt's college football reference page right now, and it's just completely frozen, and I can't click in any other tab. I'm just thankful we're still recording. Look up their 2024 Arizona State schedule, football schedule, and then let's find their biggest win where you're like, dang, that's a signature. Like, that's a big one. Look that up.
Okay. So
2024 Arizona State football. That's the year that he took them, or they went to the playoff. And then last year he got injured. Or was it last year they lost to Arizona State?
Last year they lost. So, all right.
I mean, lost to Mississippi State.
2024, they beat. So, September of 24 is when they lost. No, they beat Mississippi State September.
So, they lost to Mississippi State last year.
Yes.
Leavitt was quarterback then, though, I believe.
Yes, he was. So, Arizona State beat Mississippi State on the second game of the season. And beat them late. Beat them by a touchdown, 30-27. After that, they played North Texas. They did play Texas Tech, but lost to Texas Tech. Texas Tech unranked when they beat them, too.
Texas Tech wasn't that good 2 years ago.
So. No, Texas Tech beat – no, they were number 12 when they got beat by Texas Tech. They barely got by an unranked Kansas team, 35-31 in early October. Mm. They beat Utah, and they lost to Cincinnati, who was unranked. As the number 12 team, they lost by 10 to Cincinnati in 2024. They did beat Oklahoma State. They actually beat the brakes off of them, 42-21.
So did everybody else.
barely got by Central Florida in 2024. Beat Kansas State, which Kansas State was starting to get a little bit better at that point in time. They did beat number 17 BYU at, that year.
Still.
They
beat the Big 12 championship game?
That would have been – against Iowa State. They beat the brakes off of Iowa State, 45-19. Iowa State was ranked number 18 at the time.
So their biggest win was against number 12 BYU?
Two wins were against Iowa State, who is number 18, BYU is number 17. Other than that, they had no big wins.
Yeah, so like it's not like he's got this just impressive resume of beating a bunch of, you know, big time opponents.
Because then they got beat, but they did play them close. But in the Peach Bowl, they lost to Texas 39-31. So they lost by 8 there. And then as far as last year's concerned, what he played, Mississippi State beat them. They stayed unranked, barely got by Baylor by 3, and we saw how bad Baylor was throughout the rest of the year. Right. Now they had a big win last year. They upset number 4 Texas Tech 26-22.
But was he healthy? Did he play in that game?
I don't know.
I would love to know, but my computer's frozen, so I can't look it. I can't look it up. I can't
Other
help
than that, they didn't really beat anybody. I mean, they got beat by number 17, Arizona, 23-7. Duke in the Sun Bowl, you know, beat them 42-39. So, yeah, that's last year. So they didn't really have a quote-unquote – the only signature win they had last year.
He did play against Texas Tech, and he was really good. He threw for like 319. So, yeah, that's a big one. They beat TCU last year when they were ranked. I don't know what TCU finished.
Well, see, on this schedule, I'm looking, they weren't ranked when they played them.
He got hot. He got hot after the Texas State game when they played Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech, and Houston. We're talking about this because there's just not that much impressive about this resume, just to say that he's proven at this level. You know what I mean? And that's one of the biggest arguments about Byron Brown. He's just not, quote unquote, proven at this level. And it's like the conversation should probably go now, Ben, is like, at what point, you know, we had this with Cam Newton. It's like, at what point do you think it's like, okay, yeah, this guy's legitimate. Like, he's the real deal. Like, at what point in this season does that happen? Or can it happen? How early could that happen? Could it be game one? I mean, could it be against Baylor? If he just goes off on Baylor, everybody's like, okay.
If he goes off, people will start to wake up. You'd mentioned before we got on, you mentioned, does it come against Florida? And I told you, I said, my problem with that is how many of the naysayers are going to go, well, Florida's also got a first-year head coach, so we don't know. And then it's Vanderbilt. So it could come, it could be that Tennessee game October 3rd, Kyle, that we see, you know, if Auburn, if he goes off against Baylor, they're at least going to have some light bulbs come on against people if he goes off against Baylor. But then it's Southern Miss, Florida, you're going to sit there and people are going to wonder, all right, is that just first-year head coach versus first-year head coach? Vandy doesn't have Pavia anymore, so you got to think Auburn's going to get the tip of the cap as far as the favorite there in that game. But then when Auburn goes to Tennessee, if Brown goes into Neyland Stadium and just absolutely goes off, I think people will be like, okay, we screwed up. Like, this guy's better than we thought he is. So I'm going to say Tennessee game.
I'm going to say Florida, and this is why. Because he's already done it against them. So everybody's going to look at him and say, okay, he did it against Florida at South Florida. Can he do it against them at Auburn? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like if he answers the bell or outperforms, because I think it was like 320-something total yards between mm-hmm. passing and rushing. If he outdoes, you know, what he did at South Florida then versus Florida, if he outdoes that, I think that might be – because I think that game could be super hyped up, especially if Auburn, you know, handles business in the first two games.
Oh, there's a lot of backstory going into that game. There's a lot of stuff surrounding that with Sumrall and Golish and the courting of coaches this past year and the transfers with a couple of Auburn players heading down to Florida and going to be playing, as well as the South Florida kids that competed against Florida the year before. I mean, there's so much surrounding that game. But I say that to say this, Kyle. I wonder if there's so much surrounding that game. If he goes out and he lights them up, he puts up 400 total yards passing and rushing, or 350 plus, because you said it was 320 last year. So if he does 350 plus, he probably gets noticed. But I still say, man, he goes on the road to Tennessee and Golish has him prepared from him coaching at Tennessee before. And, you know, Auburn gets by Florida, gets by Baylor, gets by Vandy, and they go into Tennessee undefeated. And Byron Brown has that Ronnie Brown moment when Ronnie Brown ran over the defensive back to get into the end zone through the checkerboards. If he has that kind of moment, I think, that's when people go, this dude's the real deal. So you're going earlier than me. You're going to go Florida. I'm going to go Tennessee.
Gotcha.
Plus, if he has a great game at Tennessee, man, that's great buildup heading into Georgia the following week.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Those are obviously going to be really
Kyle, he can near about lose all the rest of the games. If he beats Georgia for the first time and Auburn's done in forever, there'll be so many Auburn fans hyping him up. So I would like for him to get that moment before it gets to Georgia. But I'd love to go into Georgia, if not undefeated, with him having a great game in Knoxville and Auburn having a chance to upset the Dogs.
Ben, what's the time on the clock?
We're at 23 minutes, Kyle. Are you still on a black screen?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, do you know how to end the show?
Oh, that's right. I can't even
end the show. So do you know how to hit end record?
It's not even giving me an option to end record on here.
Oh boy. All right. Well, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna have to edit this anyway. So we're just gonna get out of here. So y'all go make sure you go let us know what you think about Byron Brown, and you know, let us know in the comments or let us know on the message board, wherever, doesn't matter. We'll love to interact about it. Make sure you go to buyauburn.com, do business with Auburn people. Go to aushirts.com where you can get some cool hats. I probably need to buy auhats.com, don't I? And then just redirect it there, as well. So,
yeah,
but for now, go to aushirts.com, you get a bunch of cool merch. Ben.
Let me tell you, on the hats, Kyle and I got some different hats. He can't see it, but he's wearing the Block Bug right now. I got the Blue Bug that's boxed in. If you see that,
yeah.
He got the Blue Bug script.
Yes, on the white hat, it looks sick.
I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those. And this is just me being the golfer in me. That's going to go with just about everything you wear. Golf shirt wise. So
no doubt.
Nothing against the orange. I'm just saying the blue goes with a lot more stuff. and they look good. So go to AUShirts.com and hit that the blue script and blue block bug hats. And Kyle actually got the 5-panel. It looked good on him.
Yep, I'll wear that one another day. Guys, y'all take it easy. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.